This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson.
A science conference focused on Western Alaska is in Bethel this week. The Western Alaska Interdisciplinary Science Conference, also called WASC, will run April 7th through 9th at Bethel's Cultural Center. The conference happens annually and rotates between Western Alaska communities. It aims to share knowledge across cultures and fields, and this year is rooted in Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta specifics. The roster of speakers includes archaeologists and climate scientists, as well as tribal and city leaders representing various communities in the region. Conference presentations will include topics like Kuskokwim River ecosystems, health and wellness in Western Alaska, climate change on the YK Delta, sled dog sustainability, and how changing weather patterns are affecting daily life across the region's communities. The conference will also feature craft workshops and optional field trips around Bethel. The conference is free to register for residents of the YK Delta. Find a code on the Alaska Sea Grant website. This week's showdown in the U.S. Supreme Court over the 14th Amendment put Native Americans in the spotlight. Justices sharply questioned the Trump administration's solicitor for citing their history to justify his case that children of immigrants born in the United States are not guaranteed citizenship. The exchanges were confusing, and as KNBA's Rhonda McBride reports, they left some tribal members uneasy about where this case might lead.
In defending President Trump's executive order against birthright citizenship, Solicitor John Sauer compared the treatment of Indian tribes to that of foreign governments. He argued that the U.S. Constitution recognizes tribes as sovereign nations, and that when the country was founded, tribal members and their children were not considered citizens, much like the children of foreign diplomats, a standard that he says should be applied to immigrants.
You're using some pretty obscure sources to get to this concept.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor sounded skeptical about where Sauer's argument was headed.
The Indian tribes were analogized to foreign diplomats. So what do we do with that?
I'd say two things. First, as the Indian tribes, we think that's a case that strongly supports us.
The Indian law case just doesn't fit with anything that they're trying to do in this situation, and they were really stretching to make it apply, and I think they failed.
Bob Anderson, a longtime Alaska attorney, now teaches Indian law at Harvard. He says doubt seemed to cross ideological lines.
It seemed to me that the conservative members of the court recognized that. I was surprised that they seemed to be so much in alignment with the opponents of the Trump administration.
Justice Neil Gorsuch, considered an expert on Indian law, posed some pointed questions to Sauer about the status of Native Americans.
Do you think Native Americans today are birthright citizens under your test and under your friend's test?
I think so. I mean, obviously they've been granted citizenship by statute.
Put aside the statute. Do you think they're birthright citizens?
No, I think the clear understanding that everybody agrees in the congressional debates is that the children of tribal Indians are not birthright citizens.
I understand that's what they said, but your test is the domicile of the parents. And that would be the test you'd have us apply today, right?
Yes.
Justice Gorsuch wasn't satisfied with that answer and continued to push on.
A tribal Indian, for example, gives up allegiance to...
Born today, birthright citizens.
I think so, on our test, If they're lawfully domiciled here.
Okay.
I have to think that through.
Based on the Trump solicitor's arguments, should Native Americans worry about their citizenship status? Anderson says,
no, there's no way that this case could affect the citizenship of Indian tribes because Congress passed a separate law in 1924, automatically making all tribal members in the United States citizens as well as their children. So I think Justice Gorsuch made that point yesterday when he was having an exchange with the Solicitor General.
While the birthright case won't change the law, it has raised new questions about how history is being used to define citizenship today. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Large majorities of Alaskans tell pollsters they're sick of changing their clocks twice a year. And for years, lawmakers have introduced bills that would stop us from springing forward and falling back. This year is no exception. But as Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the thornier question is, what time should it be?
It's principle versus pragmatism, nature versus industry, early birds versus night owls. The one thing three quarters of Alaskans seem to agree on, says Eagle River Republican Senator Kelly Merrick, is that it should be one or the other.
What they're telling us is simple. They're tired of changing the clocks.
She's speaking there to the House State Affairs Committee on a recent Saturday. Merrick is the prime sponsor of a bill the state Senate passed that would petition the federal government to move to permanent daylight saving time in Alaska. One day, we'd spring forward and never fall back. Merrick's camp is for the pragmatists. She says permanent standard time would leave Alaska too far behind the rest of the country.
There are real concerns. Concerns about falling out of sync with the rest of the country. About being 5 hours behind the East Coast and 2 hours behind the West Coast. Concerns that affect commerce, travel, and communication.
The travel industry broadly supports the idea, especially the many flight-seeing outfits who require daylight to run their tours. Craig Jennison is with Temsco Helicopters, based in Ketchikan.
It's not just flight operations, but all tours that rely on daylight. It's really hard to show off Alaska at night.
So that's the case for permanent daylight saving time. In the opposite corner, with the principled naturalist early birds, is Anchorage Independent Representative Kai Holland.
Nothing we do here will change the number of hours in a day. And we cannot legislate the sun to rise early or set later.
Holland is behind a competing House bill that would move the state to permanent standard time. We'd fall back and then never again spring forward. And Holland says, sure, every summer we'd be 5 hours behind the East Coast, but then again...
Alaska's future is not limited to the lower 48 and its three time zones to the east. We're uniquely positioned globally. From here, within a single workday, we can engage with Europe in the morning, the Americas during the day, and East Asia in the afternoon.
Alaska Standard Time is already about an hour behind the sun. In Anchorage, the sun peaks around 1 p.m. rather than at noon. So moving to permanent daylight time would shift midwinter sunrises to after 11 a.m. in Anchorage and close to noon in Fairbanks. North Pole resident Cam Webb told the committee he didn't want to spend an extra month driving to work in the dark.
It would have us live our lives permanently 2 hours out of sync with the sun and the stars. This choice represents yet another salvo in the ongoing divorce by tech-obsessed humans from the natural world.
There are also health effects to consider. Physician assistant Lisa Alexia told the committee permanent daylight saving time would throw off our body's natural rhythms based on the rising and the setting sun. And that would have all kinds of ill effects on everything from mental health to student achievement.
People think they want longer evenings, like they want to smoke, skip vaccines, and skip wearing a seatbelt. But there are public health and public safety and education issues at stake here.
Others argue permanent daylight saving time has been tried before, in Russia, the UK, Portugal, even the US for a year in the mid-1970s, all eventually switched back. Whether this is the year for a solution to the biannual clock change problem is unclear. Merrick's permanent daylight saving time bill has passed the Senate but has not advanced in the House. Holland's permanent standard time bill remains in its first House committee. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Kwayana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchit coming up.